Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for an opportunity again to look at the word, an opportunity to learn from the word. Father, we give you praise and we thank you for light, revelation, and insight in this place, even as the word is taught. We thank you because eyes are open to see. We thank you because ears are open to hear. We thank you for light, revelation, and insight in every heart. Father, we thank you because there is no confusion as the word is taught. We thank you for clarity, even as the same is taught. Father, we give you praise and we thank you. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Hallelujah. All right, you can have your seat. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, you know, this is our first meeting as a church, right? Are we glad about that? Are you sure? You don't look sure. Are you glad about that? Can we rejoice about that? Come on, let's rejoice about that. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah. You have your seat. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No, I'm almost consumed with joy. I don't even know where to start the teaching from. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, the Lord is good. Just lift your hands and give him praise. Thank him. The Lord is good. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, welcome to church. Are you ready for the word? Okay. So, you're welcome to Dazzle Church. Amen. And today, we'll just look at a few things. Now, when I say a few things, some people are already smiling because they know few is very relative when it comes to our meetings. Amen. But yeah, you know, we just want to use today to find out what exactly we are doing as a local church. Okay? We want to establish our vision as a local church. You know, what exactly Dazzle Church is about. And the reason why we want to do this is because of those who intend to identify with us as a church, to know what exactly we are doing and, you know, identify with the same. Amen? Amen? Now, I observed that down through the years, okay, I've just realized that it is very needful to explain clearly what your vision is, so that people don't misunderstand you. Amen. Because we need to state what exactly we are doing as a church and why exactly we are doing the same. In fact, let me say this as well, that we need to take charge of our terminologies as a church. Amen. You cannot leave, you know, our terminologies, or we cannot leave our terminologies for the public to interpret for us. Okay? So we must always explain what we mean when we say some things. Hallelujah. Are you here? Because, you know, there's a way we can assume that people know what we are saying. How many of you agree? Come on, let me see your hand. We can just assume that people know what we are saying. Take, for example, our quotes. We are in our best days yet. Right? We are in our best days yet. Now, I'm aware that there's a song by that title. But the phrase was actually, you know, a supernatural utterance. Okay, it came from the place of prayer. In fact, it would make sense to say that I didn't even know about the song when I got, you know, that phrase. So it was from the place of prayer I got it. Amen. Now, what does "we are in our best days yet" mean? It simply means, please, you should be writing. It simply means that we are daily surpassing the growth of yesterday. Hallelujah. Are you here? We are daily surpassing the growth of yesterday. That is, you are getting better and better every single day. Hallelujah. You don't have a better yesterday. Amen. Every day is better than the previous one. Hallelujah. You know, every time we pray, we get better. Do you know that? You know, that's what the Pauline prayers are for. Paul's prayers. We prayed them before we started service. Ephesians 1, Philippians 1, Colossians 1, Philemon 1. Those prayers are prayers that, you know, when we pray, it's for getting better in the things of God, getting better in the knowledge of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. So every time we pray, we get better. Now, what do we do? If every time we pray, we get better. We should pray every day, right? Right? Okay. Every time we study the Bible, okay, we are getting better. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 tells us that. It says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay? So by the word comes growth. Hallelujah. By the word comes growth. So what do we do if the word brings growth? We feed on the word every day, right? Right? Yes. Every time we come to church and fellowship with other saints, we are getting better as well. Hebrews 10 verse 24 and 25 tells us that. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exalting one another, and so much more the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? So in the gathering of believers, in the gathering of saints, what happens is that we are stirred up. What happens is that we are exalted so that we can grow, so that we can get better. Hallelujah. So if this is what happens every time I come to church, what should I do? Come to church regularly, right? Because every time I come, I'm getting better. Hallelujah. So this shows you that there is no room for staying on the same spot in Christianity. Did you get that? There is no room for staying on the same spot in Christianity. You keep growing and getting better. Hallelujah. And let me say this as well, that this growth does not happen by chance. Spiritual growth does not happen by chance. It comes deliberately. Hallelujah. So when we say we are in our best days yet, it's actually a phrase to use when you are deliberately growing in the things of God. Okay? It is an affirmation that your growth daily will surpass yesterday's growth. That you are not comfortable with past growth and knowledge, but you will seek to know and seek to do more for the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Now, that's our definition of the terminology. Right? But folks have taken the terminology, and right now we have all sorts. And that's why I said it's good for you to define your terminologies. Okay? Amen? You know, some have used it for career. Some have said, I'm in my best days yet in my business. Amen. He said, in my business, I'm in my best days yet. Some other people have used it for academics. Okay? So, I'm in my best days yet in my academics. No, they are failing a course, but they say, no, I'm in my best days yet. I'm in my best days yet. I'll get an A. Amen? You know, the most interesting one I saw was folks who follow our ministry, our friends overseas. You know, they use it now for the rapture. You understand? So someone said, we're in our best days yet. So we are in the days of the rapture. You understand? The rapture is coming soon. So because it's our best days yet, it's the you're laughing. Is the best days yet of the rapture. You know, very interesting. They are even exegeting the phrase more than we will give it. Amen. So, you know, you just need to stay within the confines of those terminologies. Hallelujah. You know, another one again is so much to learn. You know, these are our dazzle terminologies. When we say so much to learn, you know, I put that out most times, you know, I put it out. And I just write it out. Then I observe that some folks also now take it and then they put it out as well. So much to learn. And then for them, the so much is, you know, maybe in this life, there's so much to learn. Do you understand? You know, it's cute. But because when I use that phrase, let me tell you why I use it most times. The times I use that phrase are the times when I've studied for a long period of hours. And I see that there's still so much to learn. Do you understand? So, let's say I set a target for a day and I study. Okay? And when I'm done studying, I see what is left to study. And I say, oh, there is still so much to learn. That's what it means. Amen. Amen. But you know, for some, they think it's a mantra. Okay, but it's not. Hallelujah. So you must know what exactly our terminologies are and why exactly we use them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, please move there. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, same with our church name. When we say Dazzle Church. Amen. Now, some said, oh, you want to dazzle people. You know, by that they mean good venue, air condition, you know, good lights and all of that. So they say you want to dazzle people, you want to wow the audience. When we say we are Dazzle Church, you know, they don't understand what we mean. And you know, we can't blame them because we can't explain the public to define our terminologies for us. We should be the one to do that. Do you understand? Yeah. You know, when you go to Oxford Dictionary and you check the word dazzle, you see a lot. I remember someone reached me and said, this is your church name. Are you sure you you know the meaning of what you are saying? Because, you know, when you check Oxford Dictionary, you see some even negative definitions, right? Have you checked that? Did you check? You didn't even bother to check. You don't know. You know, but like, you know, I believe you should know that dictionaries don't give you meanings of words. Do you know that? Dictionaries give you different applications of a word that context will determine. Do you understand? For example, I'll give you an example. When I say the word bully, B-U-L-L-Y, please write that down, bully. Now, when I say bully, you know, the first thing that comes to your mind is the negative meaning. Am I right? You know, someone who oppresses another person or is cruel to another person. Amen? But do you know, if you check that word bully, it also means friend. Amen? Or a companion. Or even your sweetheart. So when I say you're such a bully, you know, you have to know what exactly I'm talking. If I say, oh, Brother Thomas is such a bully, you have to say, okay, in what context was the word used, right? That's just common English and how English should be used, right? You know, what exactly is the writer saying? You know, this is not even Bible interpretation now. It's just words. Hallelujah. Amen? So, same with that word dazzle. You know, in some context, it means to confuse. Amen? You know, in another context, it means to wow an audience. Like I said earlier on, to wow an audience. Okay? Now, what you would now do is to ask, in what way do we use it here? Hallelujah. Now, you would find out that that same word dazzle, okay? You know, the verb is dazzle and the adjective is dazzling, okay? It is used for very bright light, okay? That is the context of the word. It's used for very bright light. It means to shine very brightly. Hallelujah. To shine very brightly. Now, it is used to define or describe a kind of light that takes your attention off every other distraction and has you gazing with awe. Amen? So, when you see dazzling light, you see light that takes your attention off every other distraction and puts your attention on that light. Hallelujah. Amen? Are we together? It's light that takes your attention from every other distraction and has you gazing with awe on another light or the source of the light. Amen. So when we use the word dazzle, we use it simply to describe the bright light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. To describe the bright light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you will note that the reason why we do that is that in the Bible, sin and ignorance are often described metaphorically as darkness. How many of you have seen that before? Darkness in the Bible is always used, sometimes used for ignorance and sin. Hallelujah. Are you here? Okay. For example, you see in Genesis chapter 1, please turn your Bibles there. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Hallelujah. Now, many read the book of Genesis and they are distracted by creation. Right? Now, while it is true that Moses was teaching creation in the book of Genesis, Moses was also simultaneously teaching salvation. Okay, we've explained this in some meetings. I think that was Soteria 2017, 18. Yes, the teaching, what God always wanted. Yes, you can get that as well. We explain that very carefully for you. You know, Moses was teaching creation, or rather, Moses used creation to explain the concept of salvation. Do you understand that? So as a believer, I should not go to the book of Genesis and be distracted by moon, light, water, earth, birds, streams. You know, in that teaching, we explain what all of these mean. Moses was using creation metaphorically to explain the concept of salvation. Are you here? Guys, are you here? Are you here? Okay. For example, in John chapter 5, okay, Jesus Christ tells us that, John chapter 5, reading from verse 45, he says, "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust." Do you see that? He says, "For you, if you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For what? He wrote about me." Do you see that? So what did Moses do? He wrote about the Christ. Hallelujah. Then verse 47 says, but if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Hallelujah. So Moses was using imageries and metaphors to describe salvation. Hallelujah. And like we will see in subsequent teachings, you know, in church, there is a way you should read the Old Testament. Okay? You are not reading, some people make a very big error when they read the Old Testament. You are not reading history. Okay, you are not reading story. You know, some people like the Old Testament very well because there is like storybook. But when they come to the New Testament, it's boring because you don't see somebody carry the stone and fling the stone and it hit somebody's head, you know, and the person died. You know, stories. So when they read the Old Testament, they see things that appear to be just fun. That is the wrong reading of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. And we'll see that in subsequent teachings, but I cannot do that today. Even though we won't live here. Hallelujah. So, when you read the Old Testament, know that you are actually reading salvation in a hidden form. Please write that down. You are reading about salvation, but in a hidden form. Now, when you... please turn your Bible quickly to Ephesians chapter 3. When you look at Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 3, it says... how that, now Paul is talking here, he says, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Verse 5 says, "Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets." Do you see that? Now, that word mystery in verse 3 is the word musterion in the Greek, M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. Now, you know that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek. So that's why we say the Greek word was for New Testament, and for the Old Testament, we say the Hebrew word was. Hallelujah. Now, that word musterion, mystery, it means what is hidden. Did you get that? What is hidden? So, in the Old Testament, the gospel of Christ is present, but in a hidden form. The Old Testament writers and prophets used metaphors, dark speeches, to teach salvation. Hallelujah. And that is exactly what Moses was doing in Genesis 1. Say the Old Testament speaks of salvation. Let's say that together. The Old Testament speaks of salvation. The Old Testament speaks of salvation. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading from verse 15, it says, "And that from childhood you have known what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation." Do you see that? through faith which is in Christ. Now, when he says Holy Scriptures here, the Old Testament, the New Testament had not been written. Okay? So they didn't have Matthew to Revelation. So if Paul says Holy Scriptures, what is he referring to? The Old Testament. Thank you very much. You are very smart. Now, that is Genesis to Malachi, right? So he says Genesis to Malachi were written primarily to make their readers wise about what? The subject of salvation. Wow. Are you seeing this? But the form in which that was done, if you read the Old Testament casually, you won't see it. Okay? Because it was done in symbols. That's what mystery means. Okay? It was hidden. So you will see things. I don't want to touch this today because if I should start, we will not leave. You will see things hidden. Let me just leave it at that. Okay? But they are actually pointing to what God will do in Christ for the sins of man. Hallelujah. So you would need, if the Old Testament is the mystery, Paul in Ephesians 3:3 now talks about the revelation of the mystery. Now, the word mystery means what is hidden, right? Now, the word revelation in the Greek means to take away what is hidden, or to take away what is hiding. Okay? To remove the veil. That's the word basically in the Greek. Okay? So, if it is hidden, it means it's covered, right? So, what do we now have? We have the revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery is what was hidden now made clear. Hallelujah. Are you here? And where is that revelation? Where is it? Are we still looking for that revelation? No. Paul tells you where it is. He says it is in his writings. He says what I wrote. Hallelujah. So when I want to find the revelation of the mystery, I simply go to where it has been revealed, the New Testament. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the epistles, basically, Romans to Jude, are an explanation of the Old Testament. You can call them discoveries or expositions or explanations of the gospel that was hidden in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Are you here? Now, that's what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 3 to 5. Hallelujah. So we will read the epistles to understand the Old Testament. Because the epistles explain the Old Testament to us. Now, back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. You saw in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And he says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, Paul explains to you what that means. Are you ready for the revelation? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He tells you, he says, darkness was on the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, right? Now, what was Moses trying to teach? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading from verse 3. He says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world has what? As what? Blinded, or we can say darkened, right? He has prevented light from entering. Who do not believe, lest what? The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is what? The image of God, should shine on them. Do you see that? Guys, do you see that? See verse 5. For we would not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves bond servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6. For it is what? It is what? The God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has what? Shone in our hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in what? The face of Jesus. Do you see that? So Paul lets us know that when Moses wrote in Genesis chapter 1, he was using physical light and darkness to point to the spiritual. So just as God commanded light out of darkness at the beginning of the world, in the same manner, he shines the light of the gospel in the hearts of all who believe. Hallelujah. So Moses was teaching salvation. Do you see that? But do you know, if you go to Genesis chapter 1 and you just read casually, you won't see that. Right? Right? You needed that to be explained to you. That is why it's called a mystery. Hallelujah. So now you observe in verse 4. It says concerning those who do not believe the gospel, it says they are blinded. Okay? They are still blinded in sin. That is, their spiritual vision is obscured by the devil. So they cannot see the light of the gospel. And that is why darkness is used to describe man in sin or spiritual ignorance. For example, look at Proverbs chapter 4. Please turn your Bibles there. Proverbs chapter 4 from verse 19. Proverbs 4:19. It says, the way of the wicked is like what? Darkness. Do you see that? They do not know what makes them stumble. So the unbeliever, the unsaved, the sinner is described as one in darkness. Okay? And the gospel is now that light that shines in the heart of the sinner to remove sin and spiritual ignorance, and it causes him to see. Hallelujah. Amen. So salvation is light. Salvation is light. You know, in the Old Testament, when Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, he was going to prophesy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. See what he says about him. He says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Hallelujah. It says, those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Hallelujah. Who is that light? Who is that light? Okay. Now, see how this John describes the Lord Jesus. John 1. Please, I want you to be very fast with your Bibles, okay? Just turn very quickly. John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. See how John describes the Lord Jesus. He says, in him was what? Life. And the life was what? The light of men. He had said already in verse 1. He says, in the beginning was what? Was the Word. The Word was what? Was with God. And the Word was who? Does that sound familiar? What is that? That's Genesis 1. Right? So, are you seeing the revelation? Come on, guys. Are you seeing the revelation? Okay. So, he says here that in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, verse 5. And the darkness did not comprehend it. So that light, or pardon me, the life, now gives light to spiritually dead men. Amen? Jesus repeats the same thing in John chapter 8. Please turn there very quickly. John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but has the light of life. What does he call himself? What does he call himself? The light of the world. See John chapter 12, verse 46. John chapter 12, verse 46. He says, I have come as a light into the world. Jesus Christ is talking here. He says that whoever believes in me should not what? Abide in darkness. Hallelujah. When Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2, see how Simeon, okay, describes him. Please turn there. Luke chapter 2, verse 28. Luke 2, 28. Okay, Jesus was born. Now, Simeon describes him. He says, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes, have seen your salvation. Verse 31, which you prepared before the face of all peoples. Verse 32, a light to bring what? Revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Do you see that again? You see light, right? You see revelation. Now, Simeon is actually quoting from Isaiah 42. Please turn there. Isaiah chapter 42. It says, I, the Lord, now referring to the Messiah, I've called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes. Do you see that? Okay. To bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Now, this is a messianic prophecy or a messianic scripture concerning the Christ. It says about him that he will be what? A light. Hallelujah. To the Gentiles. So can we say that the coming of Jesus was the coming of light to man? Right? So before the coming of Jesus, man was in sin, right? Man was in spiritual ignorance, which is what is described as darkness, right? Metaphorically, right? Now, what does Jesus Christ do? He comes as that light shining in that darkness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, see John 3. John chapter 3, verse 18. He says, he who believes in him is not condemned. Him there is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Now, what is the condemnation? That what? The light has come into the world. Who is the light? Jesus. And men loved what? Can we say sin? Right? Can we say spiritual ignorance? Okay? Rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So the coming of Jesus is the coming of light into the world. That's what he says here. Look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, reading from verse 22. Are you there? He says, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, Paul is talking here, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which what? The prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to be raised or to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, it says here in verse 22, it says that the prophets and Moses said this would happen. Do you see that? So that would be the mystery in the whole Testament. Hallelujah. So you would observe that when you read the Old Testament, and there is a manifestation of God. Let's say, you know, someone, a prophet has a vision, and then he sees what looks like the throne room of God or something like that. You always observe that there was a particular word they kept using to describe what they saw. They described it as a bright and dazzling light. Right? You know, Moses in Exodus chapter 24, verse 16, he talks about a dazzling light. Okay? Or the glory that came upon the mountain. Right? Do you know that? Are you reading your Bible? For some people, that is just condemnation. Okay, let me move on. You know, Ezekiel talked about the same thing. Right? You know, Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 1, he talked about the dazzling light of God's presence. Amen? He used that to describe the vision of God he had. Then Isaiah as well had that. Now, you observe that when that light came, It always came with revelation to God's people. Amen? It always came with revelation to God's people. God's people have been walking in a particular path, in a particular way, and that way can be described as sinful or in spiritual ignorance, and that light now comes to reveal something. Hallelujah. Amen? And we are told in the New Testament that Jesus is the image of God. Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 15. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Do you see that? Hebrews chapter 1, reading from verse 1. He says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has also made the world, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image, the Greek actually says carbon copy, okay, the exact representation, okay, of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So we can say that Jesus is the God we can see. Hallelujah. He is the image of God. So it is no wonder that the visible image of light is called light. Do you understand? If God in the Old Testament is described as light, right? Then that same God becomes a man to dwell amongst men. Do you understand that it is no, and we say that that man is the exact image of God, right? So we can say, we can say safely that that man is light. Do you understand now why he's described as light? Amen. So the gospel is described as light because the gospel is the message about him who is light, the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So he's not only light, he now seeks to give light to men who are in darkness. Remember, darkness is what? Will represent what? Sin and what? Spiritual ignorance. Hallelujah. Okay? So, the gospel is the message of light. Hallelujah. To men who are in darkness. Now, how did Jesus accomplish this light? First, you know, he died, right? Then he was buried, right? Then he was raised from the dead and he was glorified. Now, these events of his death, his burial, and his resurrection are now in a message. Okay? And we can call that message the gospel or the good news of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Reading from verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand," verse 2, "by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain," verse 3, "for I deliver to you first of all that I also received, that Christ did what? He died for our sins according to the scriptures," verse 4, "and that he was what? Buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Now, this message of his death, his burial, and his resurrection according to the scriptures, what was it called? The gospel. Hallelujah. Now, when a man, that gospel is now presented, remember I told you that Jesus, before the coming of Jesus, man is in darkness, right? Sin, spiritual ignorance. Now, that gospel is now preached to that man in sin and spiritual ignorance, which we can call darkness, right? So whenever I say darkness, just know what I'm referring to. When I say light, you know what I'm referring to, right? Okay, so it is preached to that man, and when that man believes in that message, what's the message? Remember, it's what? Is it how Jesus Christ went about doing good? Huh? Come on. Is it the carpentry work of Jesus? Is it how he, you know, if, imagine I go to a man, a sinner, and I tell him, Jesus Christ multiplied loaves and fish. Believe and you will be saved. Believe is saved. Come on, will he be saved? What is the message? Come on, what's the message? He what? And he was what? Resurrected. You must not deduct any of these three events from the message. Because once you do that, you have an incomplete message. That message can't save. Do you understand? So when I take that gospel of Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, which is light to man in darkness, and I preach it to a man, okay? And that man believes in the words I've communicated to him. You know what happens? He is delivered from darkness. Hallelujah! See Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. He says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us." Say, "I'm qualified." Say, "I'm qualified." Qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Where? Come on, where? Where are the saints? Where are the saints? Where are the saints? Hallelujah. Verse 13, he has what? Delivered. Say, "I've been delivered." Say, "I've been delivered." Delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, hallelujah, into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have what? Redemption through his blood. What? The forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. So when I preach the gospel to a man and the man believes, he is delivered from the power of darkness. That word power is authority in the Greek. Okay? Exousia. He is delivered from the authority of sin, the authority of spiritual darkness, the authority of the devil. He is now conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He is now a saint. He is now in the light. Say, "I'm in the light." Say, I'm in the light. Are you glad? Say, I'm in the light. Hallelujah. Amen. So this happens to every man who believes the gospel. He now exists as a child of light. Say, I'm a child of light. Say, I'm a child of light. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness. Hallelujah. You know, I love the way Paul talks. He says, you were once. You don't mean that once. It means you are no longer. Say, I'm no longer darkness. Say, I'm no longer darkness. Hallelujah. It says, you were once darkness. But now, what's now? Now. Hallelujah. Right? The present. Having believed the gospel, right? That sets you free from the authority of darkness. What are you now? You are light. Say, I'm light. So, you know this funny? The message that delivered you from darkness to light now made you light. Oh, glory to God. So, not only am I delivered from darkness to light, I am now made light. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, now walk what? As children of light. Because what are you? You are now a child of light. Say, I'm not a child of darkness. I'm now a child of light. Hallelujah. Now, this happened by what? The gospel. Okay? The gospel is that message that saved us and took us from darkness to light. Now, let me ask a question. What is in that gospel? We said already, it is the message of what? His death, his burial, and his resurrection. Very simple. Now, that death, that burial, and that resurrection, can we call it knowledge? No, think carefully. Can we call it knowledge? Okay, what is darkness? Ignorance, right? So, can we say that message that came is knowledge as well? No, I'm asking you if it's not. Okay, now, it's knowledge, right? Knowledge about who? About Jesus, right? Right? So, it is the knowledge of Christ in the message of the gospel that brings light. Amen? And we've seen that this light is what saves the sinner. So, can we say that in the gospel is light to deliver from darkness, which is sin? We can say that, right? Safely from everything we've seen. Right? Right? You're not replying me. Right? Okay. Now, you would observe that having been saved from and delivered from the kingdom of darkness, you are now in the light, right? But you observe that the New Testament doesn't stop there. It doesn't say, oh, you're now in the light. Okay, bless the Lord now. Okay, full stop. It actually shows light as continuous. And we'll see that now. Light continues in the kingdom of light. Okay? So, as a believer, I've now been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. I'm now in the kingdom of light. Now, light continues in that kingdom. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Reading from verse 15. We read this earlier on, right? Before we started teaching. It says, are you there? Hey there, I'll wait for you. Hey there now. Okay. Verse 15. It says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Do you see that? In what? The knowledge of him. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, I want you to observe verse 18. If you have your Bible, I want you to do something. I want you to underline the eyes of your understanding. Then I want you to underline enlightened. Okay? We'll look at that now. The eyes of your understanding, then enlightened. Now, Paul is talking to believers here. And we said already that believers are already in the light. Right? They are children of the light. They've been saved and they've been delivered. And in verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. He prays for believers, those already saved, those already in the light. And he says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That's interesting. Don't you think so? Right? It's like saying, you are in the light, but I pray for more light. Right? Now, that word enlightened in the Greek is the word photizo. P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. P-H-O-T-I-Z-O. Photizo. It means to illuminate. To illuminate. It literally means to flood with light. Okay? Just think about how water floods a place. Now, imagine that water, replace it with light. That's the word photizo. Okay? To flood with light. Figuratively, it means to give understanding to. In fact, the way the word is in the Greek, we can say the eyes of your understanding be dazzled with light. Hallelujah. Because it means light, bright shining of light in the eyes of your understanding. Amen. Now, is it referring to salvation here? Look at your Bible. Read verse 17. Read verse 18. What is Paul referring to here? Is he referring to salvation? Look at it. Is he referring to salvation? No, just read in context. Remember context, right? Read what came before. Read what came after. Is he referring to salvation? The eyes of your understanding be flooded with light. Because remember, light can be described as salvation from darkness, which is sin, right? So is he saying, what would that mean? The eyes of your understanding, okay, maybe you are saved already. Then he says, maybe the eyes of your understanding be saved. Right? Yeah, that doesn't make sense. So, it can't be referring to salvation. How do we know that? Read the antecedent text, verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you what? The spirit of what? Wisdom. What again? Revelation. And what? Knowledge. So what is he referring to? Knowledge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So although the light of the gospel saves me once and for all, the learning of the gospel continues. You keep learning that same message that saved you. The knowledge it gives, the knowledge the gospel gives, it lasts forever. So simply put, you keep growing in the knowledge of Christ all the days of your life. It never stops. Hallelujah. Are you here? So this clearly shows us that the light of the gospel. We said the gospel is light, right? Now, this clearly shows us that the light of the gospel does two things. Have you seen that now? What are the two things it does? Okay, backtrack. What is darkness? It can be sin, right? Or spiritual ignorance. Have you forgotten? Okay, so the gospel is what? Light, right? Now, the gospel is now so multifaceted, right? That what it will do for the sinner is to do what? Save him from darkness, which is what? Deliverance from sin, right? Now, the same thing it would now do to that, we can say the same thing it does to that sinner, delivering him from darkness, is the same thing it now does to the man who is saved, delivering him from spiritual ignorance. One is eternal. Once and for all, forever, never ending. The other is continuous. It never stops. So, my salvation is eternal. Say, my salvation is eternal, is forever, is everlasting. But my learning of salvation is also eternal. Amen. Do you get that? Meaning, I keep learning. It never stops. Do you understand that? So, the same message that you heard to be saved is the same message you will hear to grow spiritually. Basically, that is what Paul is saying here. Not another message. And you know the problem with, I'm sorry to say the problem, but I just have to, with the church world, is that they get a man saved by the gospel, but they think another message will grow him. It's not possible. You can't get a man saved telling him that Jesus Christ died for his sins, he was buried, he was raised. Is saved. You now bring him to church and you are teaching him other things. Now I say, okay, today, service today wants to teach you how to make soap. I mean, come on. God has ordained that the same diet that saved the man is the same diet that will grow him. Don't change it. Say, don't change it. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't change the believer's diet. Hallelujah. So after salvation, the light continues. It continues. And that's why Paul can say, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Because after I'm saved, I now have the responsibility to grow in the message that saved me. Are you here? Guys, are you here? Now, not only that. Not only now. How many things have we seen? Let's backtrack. He's delivered from light, right? He's now light, right? He grows. He's now a child of the light, right? He now grows in the light, right? Okay. Not only that. He is now also instructed to be light. See how many things are that now? Over five different things that the light does, right? So now see Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He says, you are, say I am, the light of the world. Say I'm the light of the world. Say I'm the light of the world. Say it well. Say I'm the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, right? Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That phrase, so shine, in verse 16, in the Greek, it means radiate its brilliancy. All these words I've been saying so far are just synonyms of the word dazzle. Basically, okay, it means radiate is brilliancy. Have you seen bright light? That's the word here. Let it shine forth. Amen. So he says, let your light radiate its brilliancy. What does this mean? Let it be evident in your life when you reach other men. Amen. Let people know that you are a believer. Immediately they hear how you talk, immediately they see how you act. Okay, you are not just saved, you are not just, you know, in the light, you are not just a child of the light, you are not just to grow in the light, you are now to let even your conduct, okay, how you live your life as a believer, shine forth to men. Okay, this definitely would involve preaching the gospel, right? Right? In fact, I would say majorly, primarily teaching the gospel and also conduct. He says, let your light shine forth before men. Amen. Shine forth the light of the gospel. So as a believer, I am saved by the light, grown by the light, then I take that same light that saved me and grew me, right, before men, and I do the same thing to them. Hallelujah. So it's an endless cycle of light. Do you see that? I am saved. I am grown in the light. Then I take the same light. I save others. I grow them. I save others. I grow them. I save others. I grow them. Then they too are saved, right? They grow. They take the same light. They save others and they grow them. It's an endless cycle of light. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he says, now, are you here? Sorry about that. Now, when we say we light up men, we are Dazzle Church and we light up men. You know, some people now have another issue. They say, okay, we light up men, but what about women? You know, I told you have to explain your terminologies. In fact, somebody reached me and said, ah, this is your church motto. You know, I told you I didn't explain the name now again, the motto. Said, you know, what about women? You know, I even know that some women have not read our materials, they've not used our materials because we said we light up men. So they feel that, okay, this is a men's ministry. Do you understand? But not so. That's why you need to explain your terminologies. The word men, Adam in the Hebrew, or Adam, and Anthropos in the Greek, it's a compound word. It simply means humanity.
Do you understand? Or mankind. So when we say we light up men, we simply mean we light up the entire humanity. Do you understand? Men and women inclusive, old and young. What else? Tall and short. Amen. Light and dark. Amen. Regardless of your skin color and all of that. So I just decided to make that clear. Okay. So it means we light up all humanity. Okay. Okay. So please don't be mad when you say we light up men. The ladies, please. Is it fine?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So the believer, having been saved and grown by the word, now takes that same light to the world. Okay? I'll repeat that again. The believer, having been saved and grown by the light, he takes the same light to the world. Now, this is basically the summary of Dazzle Church's vision. Do you get it now? So what we want is to create more and more and more and more light all around the world. Hallelujah. That's our vision, basically. Light, right? Darkness, right? Do you remember? We will not be concerned with getting men in darkness saved, delivered from darkness into light. And when they are in the light, we now are concerned with their spiritual growth. Okay? So this is what we mean when we say we are Dazzle Church and we light up men. What we see is light all around the world. The light of the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if this is our vision and if this is our goal, everything we will do as a church will be channeled towards this goal. Okay? Our prayer meetings, our Bible study meetings, our giving, our evangelism, our fasting, our church services, everything we will now do as a church will be to ensure that this light of the gospel, this light that saved us, and this light that is growing us, is also doing the same to others. Hallelujah. Amen. So is this clear? Is the vision clear? How many of us will run with it? How many of us will run with this vision? Amen. Amen. Can we just be on our feet and pray? Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves as a church. And let's pray for ourselves individually as men in the gospel. Let's pray in other tongues. Come on, everyone. Let's pray. Let's pray. Please pray out loud. Let me hear. Pray out loud. And just pray for Dazzle Church. Pray for yourself as a believer that you would not lose your zeal, your passion, okay, for the light of the gospel to spread all around the world. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray.